Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Today, Jonathan Brentner is back with more details, insight, and encouragement on the hereafter. And then the latest headlines from the end times will be shared. Did you know that we have brand new resources from SWRC, and they're available right now? Brand new books, Rise of the One World Mind and Secret Societies. Josh Davis's brand new book, Rise of the One World Mind, shows the reader how to thrive under the threat of globalism. Micah Van Hus's new book, Secret Societies, Blood Never Sleeps, takes a look inside the secret societies that have shaped our world today. Rise of the One World Mind and Secret Societies are two brand new resources available for you and your family from SWRC. Order your copies today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Yesterday, we began looking at the hereafter and how, for the Christian, it's far better than you can imagine. Here are Josh Davis and Jonathan Brentner with more exciting details.
We're blessed to be back with Jonathan Brentner today as we discuss his new book, Hereafter, It's Far Better Than You Can Imagine, co-authored with Terry James. And today we're going to discuss the thousand-year reign of Jesus on earth, known as the millennial reign. So what's the purpose of this period? What will it be like? And after the millennial reign, the Bible tells us that followers of Jesus will witness the dawn of the new Jerusalem, the new heaven, the new earth. So what does the Bible teach about the eternal state that we'll enter into? So back with us today to help answer these questions is Christian author and speaker Jonathan Brentner. Jonathan, we welcome you back to Watchmen on the Wall.
Oh, thank you. It's so great to be back with you, Josh.
On yesterday's program, we finished by talking about the marriage supper of the Lamb, and we're exploring the eternal state. And one of the wonderful songs of our faith is Joy to the World, and many people think of it just in terms of Christmas. But my father, who's also the pastor of our church, loves to pull this song out year-round and say, this is a second coming song, and it talks about how that he rules the world with truth and grace. So how does knowing what's coming hereafter bring joy to the world?
Yes, that song, Joy to the World, I have long thought that it belongs to the second coming and should be a song that we sing all year long. When I began writing about it in the book, I did some digging and I discovered that Isaac Watts' purpose in writing it was to be a Christmas carol. However, I also discovered that he based the song on Psalm 98, which applies to Jesus' return to earth in glory, not his birth in Bethlehem. And this will bring a time of joy to the world because it speaks of inaugurating his millennial reign, when I believe he will restore the earth to its pristine condition and people will live long lives. It will be a time of truly joy to the nations, and he will be reigning. Some people tell us that he's reigning over the nations now, but it sure doesn't look like it to me. But someday he truly will be reigning over the nations, and it will bring joy to a lot of people on earth, to those that survive the tribulation in their natural bodies and are believers. They'll go into this period, and it'll just be a time of great joy for them, as it will be for us when we rule over them.
That's good. I love that song, Joy to the World. And maybe that'll inspire some other pastors who are listening or some other churches to pull that song out, not just at Christmas time, but to really emphasize the message of that powerful hymn of our faith. And so we're talking, and I got several questions for you about the millennial reign of Christ that that song portrays. And before we enter into the new heaven and new earth, believers in Jesus will be part of that millennial reign of Christ on earth. And so many people say that, well, this premillennial perspective, this premillennial interpretation is a recent development. It may be couple hundred years old at best, but is belief in the premillennial interpretation new?
No, it is not. I love to study church history, and I have a a few books that actually have passages from some of the early church fathers and things that they have written. And during the first three centuries of the church, the predominant belief of the church was premillennialism. They believed in a literal 1,000-year reign of Jesus that would begin after the tribulation, but before the eternal state. And so many churches today, they errantly equate the millennium with the age in which we are living now. And one of the new teachings is to equate it with the eternal state, to say, okay, some pastors will say, well, I'm premillennial. I believe that Jesus is coming back before the eternal state, and that's the millennium, therefore I'm premillennial. No, 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 that was never meant. That's never what the word premillennial meant. And during the first 300 to 400 years of the church, they believed in a literal 1,000-year reign of Jesus.
And that's fascinating to see that church history bears these things out. And it's an important point that we need to make. Although we ultimately hang our hat on what the Bible says, so it doesn't matter how old it is or how new it is, if the Bible teaches it and we're interpreting Scripture correctly, then that's what we need to go with. But it is important to point out that this isn't a recent development, that the church has believed and emphasized this thing throughout church history over the course of the ages. So what will the millennial reign be like? How does Scripture describe this 1,000-year reign of Christ?
It'll be incredible. There'll be perfect conditions in nature. We've restored to its pristine original state. I believe that there'll be animals. You know, the Isaiah 11 describes the lion lying with the lamb and no harm. And I believe that there'll be huge animals like elephants and giraffes that will not harm, they will walk freely among us. But the best part about the millennium is that Jesus will reign over all the nations in perfect righteousness and holiness. Can you imagine having a world leader who cannot lie and is God? It's impossible for him to lie. The Bible tells us that God cannot lie, and this is the one who will be reigning over him. And all people will know about the Lord and worship him. At least at the beginning, everyone will worship him and obey him. Israel will enjoy the land that the Lord originally promised to Abraham, and they will have a glorious kingdom of their own within the Lord's reign over the earth. And we also will reign with Jesus, going back and forth between heaven that we describe in the book. And you know, the New Jerusalem, I believe that'll be our forever home once the rapture takes place, but we will leave there to come to earth to fulfill our duties on earth, and it'll in our glorified bodies, it won't be a difficult matter at all just to go back and forth between earth and the New Jerusalem. But it'll just be an amazing time of perfect righteousness, no wars, no battles, no nation rising up against nation. Deceit will not be allowed. It'll just be a perfect time of perfect righteousness and holiness throughout the world, and it'll be enforced by Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus will be ruling and reigning, and the Bible talks about how that Satan will be in the bottomless pit, as the book of Revelation describes it, bound for 1,000 years during that time. It's going to be wonderful. And friends, we're visiting with author Jonathan Brentner and discussing his book, Hereafter. It's far better than you can imagine. You can pick up a copy of this book by going to our website, swrc.com. That's swrc.com. Or you can give us a call and place your order today, 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. The book's 265 pages in length and covers Hereafter, talking about the rapture, the second coming, the millennial reign of Christ on earth, the eternal state, the new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem. And Jonathan has written this book along with author Terry James. It's a wonderful resource, and it's to give you encouragement, to help you to understand how that you can approach hereafter with joy and with excitement. And we're going to continue talking about this millennial reign. And so what are some of the purposes of the 1,000-year period known as the millennial reign of Christ?
Well, as you mentioned, that I forgot to mention, Satan will be bound during this time. And because Satan will be bound and all the hordes with him, and there will be perfect conditions on the earth, it will expose the sinfulness of humanity. Because we know at the end of the millennium, Satan will be released and there will be a rebellion against him. And despite living in perfect, pristine conditions on earth, despite having a perfect, righteous, and just ruler, despite Satan being bound and no demonic activity, he'll still be able to encourage people to rebel against Jesus. They'll still be willing to rebel against him. So it will expose the sinfulness of humanity. It'll leave people with no excuse saying, well, if conditions had been better in my life, then I would have believed. Well, it'll put those arguments to rest. For believers in Nigeria, and so many have been martyred there, it's one of the ongoing tragedies of our day, just the persecution of the church there. But someday, believers in Nigeria will be raised from the dead, are raptured up to meet Jesus in the air, and they might have the opportunity to reign over people that had actually reigned over descendants of those who had put them to death. And so in a sense, they're also, like Jesus, reigning in places where God's word has been rejected, where the Savior has been rejected. And I think there's a wonderful truth there, that as we reign with Christ, we'll be reigning over a world that right now rejects us and increasingly wants to close its ears to any news about Jesus or the good news we have to offer. But we'll be reigning over their descendants. And there's just something about that, just as Jesus will be reigning over over nations that once rejected him, and even descendants of those who put him to death on the cross.
Yes, there's so many wonderful purposes, and you unpack so many more in your book, Hereafter. Friends, we're visiting with author Jonathan Brentner and discussing the book, Hereafter, It's Far Better Than You Can Imagine. And just so we're clear on everything, Jonathan, as Christians, we will have our immortal bodies, and we'll be raptured up or resurrected, whatever the case may be. We'll be there with the Lord, enjoy the marriage supper of the Lamb, then we'll enter into the millennial kingdom, that thousand-year period. But there will also be these mortals who have believed in Jesus, who survived the Great Tribulation on earth, and they are saved during the Great Tribulation. They enter into the thousand-year reign as mortals, and they will have children who are born during that thousand-year period. And it's those descendants that are born during that thousand-year period, when Satan is released from the bottomless pit, he deceives those people. It's not that those who have immortal bodies who've been taken up in the rapture have to choose another time whether or not they're going to follow Jesus, or those who have been saved before entering into that thousand-year period. It's just those descendants. Is that correct to think of it that way?
Yeah. Thank you for that distinction. Yes. Those who put their faith in Christ during the tribulation and somehow survive the wrath of the Antichrist, they will enter into the millennium in natural bodies. Because of the long life they'll have and the perfect conditions, the population of the earth will explode during this time, just as I believe it exploded before the flood, the Noahic flood. And so what might start out with, I'm just guessing here, a few million people, or maybe less than that, will soon explode into billions of people on earth. So there'll be many, many people from perhaps all the different nations of the world who go into the millennium in their natural bodies. And so that'll affect our time is reigning over them too, because, the cities that the Lord may put us in charge of may not exist at the beginning of the millennium, but 500 or 600 years into it, they may have millions of people in it. So it'll be a time of spectacular growth among the pristine conditions of the time.
There's so much more that we could unpack there, and we could just spend hours discussing the details of all of this. But at the end of the millennial reign, eternity will dawn. Those unbelievers and Satan himself will be cast into a lake of fire. Then those unbelievers will stand before God at the great white throne judgment. And then eternity will dawn, and there will be the new Jerusalem, the new heaven, the new earth for all the believers and followers of Jesus Christ to enter into. How does Scripture describe the new Jerusalem, the new heaven, the new earth?
Well, in Revelation chapters 21 and 22 is probably the best place to look for that. And it describes the new Jerusalem is a huge cube of about 1,500 miles wide, well, in each direction, and 1,500 miles high. So you think of a huge, gigantic cube. I believe that's where we will go after the rapture. I think that's heaven. That's where God is at. But in the eternal state, you know, God will bring this new Jerusalem down and join it with the new earth. And there are several different ideas as to what the new earth might look like. Some believe that after the millennium that the Lord will just destroy everything by fire on the surface of the earth, but it'll retain its current shape and form. Others believe that he'll scrap the old earth completely and create a new earth. And we believe that we probably favor the latter interpretation, although there's Bible scholars disagree as to what that'll look like. But we believe that he'll just scrap the whole thing. It'll be a whole new earth, but there will be things that are familiar that will carry over. Revelation 21, I believe, says that there will be no more seas, but that probably refers to large oceans, large bodies of water. Most likely there'll be lakes and rivers. We know that the New Jerusalem will have a river that'll flow from God's throne. So it'll just be a wonderful, amazing place. And when you think of the size of Jerusalem, the New Jerusalem, we place God's throne in the middle of it with a river flowing in each direction. That's 750 miles in each direction of a garden, I believe, of a river with on its banks trees and a huge garden that we'll be able to enjoy in the city of the New Jerusalem.
Well, one last question that I have for you today, and it's an important question that people need to answer, because the Bible says that today is the day of salvation, that we need to make sure that we're ready for the rapture, that we will go to be with the Lord, because hereafter really is far better than we can imagine. How can someone know that they will go to heaven if the rapture were to happen today, or if they would pass away today?
Basically, they can know that they have eternal life because of what the Bible says about the gift of eternal life. In Romans 10:13, it says, "For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved." In John 14:6, you know, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So Jesus is the way. We call upon him in saving faith. And in Ephesians 2:8-9, which is a favorite verse of many of us,
yes,
it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and it's not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of work, so that no one may boast." And so we have no reason to boast. But we know that because Scripture says that if we call upon him in faith, that he will forgive our sins. Now, of course, this presupposes that we admit that we are sinners. If someone doesn't believe that they're a sinner or in need of God's forgiveness, then that's a huge problem that would prevent them from having that assurance of eternal life. But we admit that we are sinners in need of God's forgiveness and of the Savior. We believe that Jesus paid the debt for our sins upon the cross, and then we call out to our risen Savior in faith. I like the fact that it's because of God's word that we know that we have eternal life, and it's because of what it says. It's because of Scripture, and so oftentimes, you know, the devil will attack even believers to let us know, "Oh, you're no good. How can you know that you have eternal life? No, look at, you blew it, you sinned." But we go back to the Bible. We know that The Bible says that if we believe and put our faith in him, we have eternal life. So ultimately, the Bible tells us that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, as Romans 8:1 tells us.
Yes, amen. Thank you for sharing that. And friend, we encourage you, if you're wrestling with issues of your salvation, you can reach out to our ministry. We'd be glad to talk with you about that, pray with you about that, and you can reach out to us today. Make sure that you don't let this day pass away, that you do not make things right with God as he speaks to your heart. Jonathan, thank you so much for joining me on yesterday and today's programs.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, but you're very welcome. I enjoyed talking with you about these matters that are so vital to us as believers.
The complete two-day conversation with Jonathan on heaven and its joys are available on CD. 1-800-652-1144 is the number to call and order your copy. That's 1-800-652-1144. Jonathan's brand new book entitled Hereafter, It's Far Better Than You Can Imagine, will broaden your understanding of heaven and deepen your longing for Jesus' appearing in the start of eternity. Thoughts of the splendor ahead for believers strengthen the Apostle Paul during his many hardships. And a grasp of the wonders ahead for us as saints will do the same for you. The thrilling perspective presented in Hereafter has changed everything for its authors, and we pray the glimpse of heaven we provide on its pages will lift your eyes heavenward in the expectation of the magnificent blessings that lie ahead of you. Order Hereafter, It's Far Better Than You Can Imagine by Jonathan Brentner when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Understanding our lives in the hereafter changes everything. The joy sets before us strengthens our hearts for the many trials that come our way. Be encouraged, my friend, when you read this outstanding new book by Jonathan Brentner. Hereafter, It's Far Better Than You Can Imagine. 1-800-652-1144. Time for the latest news and information through the lens of Scripture. It's Headlines from the End Times with Larry Spargimino and Marvin McElvaney.
You know, Pastor Larry, America is becoming even more divided than ever. From how they feel about vaccinations to how they feel about hundreds of thousands of people streaming across our borders, to how they feel about climate change, to how they feel about law enforcement, and the list goes on and on. Is it possible we have become so divided that we could have another civil war here in America?
Not long ago, the idea of another American civil war seemed absurd or even ridiculous. These days, the idea has not only gone mainstream, it seems to suddenly be everywhere. Business Insider published a poll in October saying a majority of Americans believe the U.S. was already in the midst of a cold civil war. Then last fall, the University of Virginia Center for Politics released a poll finding that a majority of people who had voted to re-elect Donald Trump in 2020 now wanted their state to secede from the Union.
Isn't that one of the reasons for the first Civil War? States wanted to separate from the Union? I mean, besides slavery, that was the biggest reason. Texas has even talked about seceding. If it did come down to a civil war, how would the military respond? I mean, would American soldiers actually shoot American civilians?
Well, Marvin, it sounds crazy, but they, and I mean American-born soldiers, might not have to. You see, according to the Immigration and Naturalization Act and the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, people born in other countries have the option to gain citizenship by serving in the U.S. military. I don't think some of these new recruits from other countries would have trouble shooting Americans.
Everyone knows how our military has been destroyed. First, in 1993, the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy went into effect. You can join, but don't say anything about being gay. Now it's openly gay, and the government will even pay for your sex reassignment surgery. Recruitments have fallen as much as 60 to 70%. The military is having trouble recruiting because it is so woke and effeminate. Hundreds of thousands of people stream across our border, and I have to ask why our country just stands by and does nothing. It is such a concerted effort that I know there has to be a plan in place.
Well, Marvin, the scenario goes something like this. Thousands of these men coming across our border join the military to gain citizenship. When civil war breaks out, the new recruits are in place to put down any rebellion. And it doesn't even have to be a civil war. Maybe before the election in November, sleeper cell groups of foreigners start blowing up stuff and Biden declares martial law. The election is canceled and the new recruits could be used to quarantine us to keep everybody at home.
Pastor Larry, I know there's people out there that are scoffing at all this, but when you think about how crazy things are, it's not that far out. The Biden administration has admitted to flying hundreds of thousands of migrants into the United States airports. The Center for Immigration Studies says that 320,000 migrants flew directly into the United States. The government has refused to disclose the names of the airports, saying there are, quote, security issues.
Well, Marvin, maybe these 320,000 illegal migrants are the generals, the captains and lieutenants, the leaders, if you will, of these groups coming across the border. I mean, how are these people picked for a free plane ride into the U.S.? They must be important, right? They must be well-trained. I mean, some poor guy with a donkey doesn't show up at the airport and say, hey, I want to go to the United States, put me aboard. No, there's something evil afoot here. I'm going to quote Elon Musk. He knows a lot of people. He travels the world. He's smart, very smart, a very smart man. He says, and I quote him, it is highly probable that the groundwork is being laid for something far worse than 9/11. It's just a matter of time.
Today's Resource Spotlight is on Jonathan Brentner's brand new book, Hereafter. It's far better than you can imagine. Order your copy today and be encouraged. Order when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order this uplifting book at our website, swrc.com. Understanding our lives in the hereafter, well, it changes everything. The joy set before us strengthens our hearts for the many trials that come our way. So be encouraged when you read this new book, Hereafter. Order your copy today. 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Tomorrow, historian Bill Federer will visit with Clayton Van Hus to discuss Islam and its impact on our world today. Be sure to tune in on your favorite radio station by downloading our SWRC mobile app or by subscribing to our daily Watchman on the Wall podcast. Watchman on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. Visit swrc.com.